Praise the Lord. All right. Like Brother Gary mentioned, today marks the 15th anniversary of the events of 9/11/2001. And when I was asked to share the word today, I thought to myself, am I really qualified to do that? In the sense that I am not an American citizen. And so it kind of sounds strange that should be talking about stuff about America, but I thought about it, and I'd just like to share a few thoughts with you guys before we pray. We will be praying today, so may be kind of different from what we usually do, but I'd just like to share a few thoughts with us before we start. Quick question, how many of you here have ever been outside of the U.S.? All right, good. I'll share a typical Nigerian experience of what we perceive or how we view the U.S. If you go to we have two U.S. embassies in Nigeria, one in Lagos and then one in the capital, Abuja. If you get there on a weekday, say between, from 5 a.m., people are lined up outside of the embassy. People who are scheduled for interviews, visa interviews, people who are looking to come to the U.S., and they're there from like 5 a.m. till like 3 p.m. And I mean, the last time I went there, my appointment was for 9 a.m. By the time I got there were already several hundred people outside there. And my number was like 500 and something. And so there must have been at least 1,000 people who were there that day for their interview. And that happens like every day of the week, every working day. And Abuja is like, Abuja has a smaller population. Lagos would have like double or triple that number. That is how many people who are trying to come to the U.S. Of all the people who go for the interviews, in a day, maybe if 20% of the people get a visa, it's a miracle. So a bunch of them actually get rejected. And then they just go back and reapply. And it costs about $200 to $400 to apply, excluding all the transportation and everything. If you are an American and you were to work outside of the U.S. as an expatriate, your market value is definitely higher than that of, you know, the locals, because you're an American. If you have an American degree, your value is way higher than that of the locals. Like, even if you have a UK degree, and you have another person who has an American degree, the guy who has an American degree is valued more than the guy who has a degree from the UK. Again, I'll use African countries. When you have, say, an African leader who's kind of corrupt and dealing mercilessly with the citizenry, and the U.S. comes around and says, hey, you have to stop this, the people respond very quickly. Why do I share that? It is to say that this country has an influence all over the world. When I got saved in 1999, from that point and for several years after that, I spent most of my time watching Christian television and listening to American preachers preach the gospel. They spoke into my life. They blessed my life. They helped me grow. And that's just me. I had never been to the U.S. I didn't plan to come to the U.S., but the U.S. was influencing me. So God was blessing me in Nigeria from the U.S., even though I wasn't in the U.S. From like when I was small, we've always had American preachers who come around and hold crusades. T.L. Osborne was one of them. And he would have massive crusades and people would get saved in their thousands. And there'll be miracles and all those types of things. And so America is an exporter of the gospel all over the world. America is influential in the whole world. Whether a country likes it or not, America influences the country. If you go to Nigeria, a typical young person in Nigeria knows how to speak with an American accent, dress like Americans, behave like Americans. I mean, there are American cars that I don't see here that I see in Nigeria. So they like to drive American cars. They like to wear American clothes. If you have a shirt that has an American designer's name on it, they like to buy. They prefer to buy. Not necessarily that it has more quality, but just it's American, and so everybody wants to get it. Again, why do I say that? This country is blessed. This country is special. I'm not being sentimental about it. This country has a place, a significant place in God's agenda for the earth. And it's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something we can afford to ignore. You may be here and you don't realize the kind of influence the U.S. has the world over. But I'm just trying to get you to think about it and to realize that this country is blessed by God. Listen. The things that come out from this country, say I'm in the medical profession, so I'll use drugs for instance. The drugs that come out from this country that treat diseases that affect people all over the world, it's not just about human ingenuity. It's not just about the skills. The capacity to produce these things really come from God to influence the world. And the question is, what makes you think that God could not have just given that capacity to another country? Is it because the U.S. has the most righteous people? Is it because the U.S. has the most faithful people? No. It is because God has chosen this country. It's like when you look at Israel and you look at the Jewish people, they are just blessed because God chose to bless them. A few years ago, I think it was either last year or 2 years ago, Kenya decided to pass a law banning homosexuality. And the U.S. government began to threaten Kenya. If you don't reverse this, we will punish you by withdrawing aid. The aid we give you, financial aid, we'll do that, we'll withdraw it. That doesn't sound very much like the country that God elevated to use to influence the world and to use to draw the world towards himself. I read the story of King Saul. King Saul was chosen by God from the tribe of Benjamin when Israel said they wanted a king. And God chose Saul to become the king of Israel. And God anointed Saul. So much so that a proverb was used in Israel in those days. Has Saul become one of the prophets? Because the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and Saul began to prophesy. Saul was a mighty man, anointed by God. God used him to deal with the Philistines. God used him to win a lot of victories for Israel. But in the course of time, the Bible says that Saul disregarded God, and God rejected him. And the Spirit of God left him. And Saul, the anointed king, became possessed by a demon. Do you realize that when Saul began to be influenced by that demon spirit, the Bible says, he wanted to kill David, who was the man after God's heart. He began to pursue after David to kill David. David went to the city of Nob and went to the temple. He met Ahimelech, the high priest. Ahimelech helped him and gave him bread and gave him the sword he used to kill Goliath. And when Saul heard that David was being helped by the priests, the same Saul that was anointed by God to be the captain of God's people, that same Saul went to Nob. Nob is a city of priests. And the Bible says Saul killed all the priests in Nob. He killed their wives. He killed their children. He killed everything in the city. This was the same Saul that was anointed by God to lead his people. What am I trying to say? If this country that has been blessed by God and anointed by God is left to stray from God and gets possessed by a demon spirit, the earth is in trouble. I like that to sink in for a little bit. I'm not telling you what I don't know. I'm telling you what I know. The Kenyan economy depends quite a lot on the aid they get from the U.S. And so they know that if the U.S. does pull the aid, the country will be in trouble. Think about it. Again, before we proceed to pray, how excited do you feel about the direction this country is going in currently? The Lord began to impress in my heart, and he said to me, A lot of the believers in this country have looked around and seen how things have declined, how bad things have become, how the spiritual atmosphere has turned. My boss was speaking to me the other day. We were just talking about stuff. And he started to tell me about how he grew up, the spiritual atmosphere of the country while he was growing up. And he was comparing it to what it feels like today. And the man was crying as he shared the things with me. He cried. He said in his wildest dreams, he never ever imagined that the things that are happening today would ever happen, because they were very different when he was growing up. And so the Lord said to me, a lot of believers, having seen how bad things have become dejected, have become overwhelmed, have become discouraged, so much so that they find it difficult to lift their voices and pray. It's not that they don't want to pray, but they just feel overwhelmed. They just feel overwhelmed. Every day there's something else coming up. Every day there's a news. Every day there's something. There's a court order. Every day there's a ruling. Every day there's a decision by the governing body. Every day something. Every day we are being inundated and overwhelmed by news that breaks the heart. And when the heart is broken, when the heart is sick, even to pray becomes a difficult matter. And the Lord said to me, that is what the devil is doing in this season. Makes you feel so overwhelmed with the things that are happening and feel so helpless. And you're like, well, the Supreme Court decided to say this about marriage. It's over. There's nothing else to do. They've made the decision. We're done. It's done. And it's done, so no need to pray again. It's done. It's happened. I mean, some of these demonic agendas have risen to very high places. And so there's really not much we can do anymore. Let me say this. The church of Jesus on the earth is called the body of Christ. The body of Christ is what gives expression to the life and the power and authority of Christ. The influence and activity of God on earth is directly proportional to the activity of the church. The body gives expression to Christ. So if Christ must be expressed and revealed in this nation, the church has to awake and become active. Now, listen, when I mean active, I don't necessarily mean the activism that a lot of people try to organize and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren, he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not about activism. It's not about activism. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. They are mighty through God. And they can pull down strongholds. The strongholds may be very high up there, but the weapons of our warfare, when engaged, can pull down those strongholds. The weapons of our warfare can cast down imaginations. It can bring down the things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But these weapons of warfare need to be engaged. They are not carnal. They are not in the arguments. They are not in the quarrels. They are not in the political parties. They are not. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. If they are engaged, they can bring everything into captivity and obedience of Christ. If they are engaged. Brother Gary was talking and he said, this country seems to become more and more divided by the day. That's exactly what the devil is doing. You realize what happened in Babel? When the people gathered in Babel and they said to themselves, let us build ourselves a city and build a tower whose height will reach the heavens. And the Lord looked down and the Lord said, the people, I'll use old King James, the people is one. And anything that they have determined to do cannot be stopped. God speaking. And God said, let us go down and confuse their language. And once their language became confused and one could not understand the other, that was the end of that tower. They were scattered abroad. The more the devil continues and succeeds in dividing us, denomination versus denomination, black church versus white church, Hispanic church versus Asian church, the more he succeeds in dividing us, the more he succeeds in keeping the nation from being that city set on a hill. That will shine forth the light of Christ to all the nations of the world and draw souls to himself. Paul writing to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is not against flesh and blood. Our contest is not against flesh and blood. It's not about Republicans and Democrats. It is not about that person or those people. It is not about that person or this person or this person. That is not who you're fighting against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says we wrestle against principalities and powers. He says rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickednesses in high places. What we are contesting against is not our fellow human beings. What we are fighting against, these are demonic forces that are wicked, that are against anything that has to do with the prosperity of the kingdom of God here on earth. Let me show you a little bit. The Bible says on one of those days, during the reign of King David, the Bible says, and the devil arose to vex David, to vex Israel. And the devil tempted David and made him count the number of soldiers he had in Israel, contrary to the will of God. And that brought judgment to the house of Israel.
Herod,
what you shared the other Sunday.
One day Herod decided to stretch out his hand and vex certain of the church.
It was not just about Herod. There was a demon spirit that was stirring Herod to do that.
And as long as that demon spirit was allowed to operate, it wreaked havoc against the church. Stretched out his hand, took James, killed him. The people were happy. The demon mobilized again. Stretch hands, take Peter.
Because these guys are the top people. Let's take them out.
Strike the shepherd,
and the sheep will scatter. Let's take them out. Took Peter, put him in jail.
So that the hearts of the people would melt.
You know, I like to play a lot of music and messages on YouTube. And one day, I was listening to a song. And as I looked at the playlist and looked at all the other ones that were coming after, I saw the first minister, the first guy that sang the first song. I said, that guy has had a scandal in his life.
The second person
had a scandal in his life.
The third person
had a scandal in his life.
The fourth person
had a scandal in her marriage.
The next person, the whole list were filled with Christian artists whose lives were filled with scandals. And my heart broke because I could hear the song they sang. Maybe they were the ones who wrote the song. And they were moved by the Holy Ghost when they wrote those songs. Songs that impact generations and impact people the world over.
And the devil realized, if we let this guy keep going, and if we let him to continue writing these types of songs, they will make a lot of progress. And he starts to target these ministers one after the other.
Target this one, bring him down. Target that one, bring her down. Target that one, bring him down. And of course, when he hits the one person, bam,
it would have a massive effect.
Some people will turn away and say, these Christians are hypocrites.
And that's how their hearts will turn away.
Even when the guy repents and comes back,
people still look at him with suspicion.
And even when God puts a word in his mouth, that word is no longer as effective because the scandal still puts a mark around everything the person does. I'd like you to appreciate the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they must be engaged. If they are not engaged, the devil will continue to have his way. And something struck me when you read that passage about Peter in jail. What if the church had decided to say, like those guys that were invited to that great supper, everything is ready, come.
And the first person said, I just bought a piece of property. I need to go do an inspection on it. I cannot come.
And the second person says, I just bought a farm.
You know, I need to work. I need to do a job so I can earn a living to take care of my family.
The third person said, I just married a wife.
I need to attend to my wife.
What if the church had decided to say that day,
well, the schedule doesn't work for everybody. So let's reschedule. Instead of having this prayer meeting this night, let's have it the next night. Do you know what would have happened to Peter? Peter would have been killed.
Everybody went his own way. Everybody went his own way. Everybody went his own way
to do his thing that is actually legitimate. But the Bible says that night, the church prayed. And as they prayed, they prayed. They prayed through the night. Peter was sleeping, but the church was praying. Peter was chained up, but the church kept praying. As they prayed, nothing was happening. Peter was still jailed. They prayed, nothing was happening. Peter was still jailed. They prayed, Peter was still in jail. They prayed, it went to 1 hour. They were still praying, nothing had happened. 2 hours, they were still praying, and Peter was still in jail. They kept on praying, the Bible says. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord showed up. As they prayed, the angel broke the chains. As they prayed, the angel opened the first gate. They prayed. The angel opened the second gate. They prayed. The third gate just opened on its own accord. And I began to ask myself, what kind of prayer were they praying through the night? What kind of prayer were they praying through the night? What kind of prayer were they praying? It wasn't 5 minutes. It wasn't 10 minutes. It wasn't 1 hour. It wasn't 2 hours. The Bible said they prayed through the night. They prayed until Peter appeared in the house. They prayed. Jesus said, when his disciples asked him, say, can you teach us how to pray? He said to them, when you pray, pray in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is the duty of the church to decipher what the will of God is. And having deciphered what the will of God is, it is the duty of the church to engage heaven and say to God, this thing that we have seen that is your will, let it be done on earth. You know why? Because if the church does not bind a thing on earth, it will not be bound in heaven. As far as the earth is concerned, if heaven must become active in the earth, the church, the body of Christ, must give expression. The body of Christ must give expression. See, whatever we permit is what gets permitted. Whatever we allow is what is allowed. Oh yeah, we know God wants righteousness to reign. God wants righteousness to reign. If righteousness must reign in a locality, the church must be the one engaging heaven and saying, Lord, let your will of righteousness be done in this place. If the church in that locality decides to keep quiet, the demonic forces will have a field day. When I told you guys about Daniel and his prayer life, I told you that there was a demon spirit called the Prince of Persia. That when the angel of the Lord was sent to deliver the answer to Daniel's prayer, the territorial demon spirit called the Prince of Persia said, this place is my territory. I'm the one influencing everything here. And he stood in opposition to the angel. The Bible says, as Daniel prayed, angel Michael was sent to help out in the matter, to overcome that demon spirit so that that territorial influence could be broken and so that the people of God will experience liberty. We wrestle against spiritual wickednesses in high places.
Paul said, for we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he take advantage of us. Ignorance of the demonic devices leads to a church or a people who are taken advantage of by the devil. You don't know what he's planning. You don't know what he's doing. You fall into his trap because you don't know. We cannot afford to have a church that doesn't know what the will of God is. We cannot afford to have a church that doesn't have the effort to decipher the will of God per time. The Bible says about David, when the Amalekites invaded Ziklag and burned Ziklag, the people were so disheartened. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David went to the priest Abiathar and said, bring the ephod so that we may inquire of the Lord. Bring the ephod so that we may find direction from the Lord. Can I say to you that this country as a whole will go in the wrong direction except the church brings the ephod and shows the country which way to go. I'll say that again. This country will continue to go in the wrong direction until the church wakes up and brings out the ephod to show the church, to show the country which way to go. But if the church doesn't know which way to go, what do you expect the country to do? I'm just trying to give us a charge to stir your spirit so that you say to yourself, I have been sitting for too long. Some of you have felt that your prayers are not really that effective. You're just one person. Some of you have felt, well, there's no use. No, for some of these things, we've actually been praying for a while. Nothing has happened. So, well, let's just wait until the Lord comes and takes us away. That is a lie from the devil. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you that. He did not. See, if God is done with America, you see, when some people give prophecy, say God is done, finished with America, it's a lie. It's a lie. If God were to be, God is only done with this country when the church decides to say, God, we don't want you again. But as long as there's a remnant here that still reaches out and engages heaven and cries out for mercy and stands in the gap and says, oh no, we're not going to let this darkness go any further. As long as there's a remnant, God will still move. As long as there's a remnant, God will still move. As long as there's a remnant of people, God will still move. You know what God said to Lot? Sodom and Gomorrah, if I can find even 10 righteous men, I will withhold judgment. I think we are more than 10 here. Are we more than 10 here? Are we more than 10 men here, 10 righteous people who want to engage God? Then God is not done with America. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Ah, the night is far spent. The night is far spent. There's a prophecy that God gave. And he said, as long as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. As the waters cover the seas, the knowledge of the glory of God will yet spread. From this country, the knowledge of the glory of God will yet spread. The tide of darkness that is enveloping this country is only running riot and wreaking a havoc because the remnant isn't lifting our voice. But let it be that today, the Spirit of God is doing something in your spirit, making you become restless, stirring the waters in your spirit so that you lift up your voice again with a fresh confidence and a renewed hope and say to God, I trust you again. I trust you that you haven't given up on this nation. I trust you. Trust you. I trust you. See, we have children. So a bunch of us here have children. We cannot afford to watch our children become overrun by wickedness.
I make a call. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, it's time to engage. It's time to wake up from your slumber. It's time to shake yourself from up the dust of discouragement. The Bible says about Martha, she was encumbered with many things. While the Lord was there, she was busy doing other things. Shake yourself from off the dust of encumbrances. Shake yourself and see where God is going so that you go in the direction God is going. There is hope. This nation has a part to play in God's end time agenda. You're a part of it, I'm a part of it. I'm not an American citizen, but I'm a legal resident here. And I have legal rights here too. This country has given me much, and I cannot afford to just sit back and say, well, I'm not an American citizen, anything can happen. I am not doing that. You shouldn't either. If God did not want you to be an American, you would have been born in China or somewhere else. Or maybe you would have been born in Nigeria and you'd be my brother. But God had a reason for which he birthed you here. No, let me put it properly. God had a reason for which he sent you here. Because he sent you here on an assignment. And you cannot be there. And the place where he sent you gets burned down. That means you didn't do your job. All right. Oh, Lord, help us to pray. Anybody ready to pray? God was speaking in Isaiah 59, and he said, I looked, and there was no intercessor. I could not find an intercessor to stand in the gap and keep my judgment from coming on the people. Intercessors can stand in the gap and prevent the judgment of God from coming on the people. Intercessors can stand in the gap, and in exchange for the judgment, they can draw down the righteousness of God. They can draw down the blessings of God in exchange for the judgment of God. There's a lot of evil in this country. There's a lot of wickedness being perpetrated all over this country. The amount of evil in this country is not equal to what Sodom and Gomorrah had when judgment came upon them. There's a lot more in this country. But the intercessors can fall before God and say, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Before God saved you, if you're saved here, before God saved you, you were very sinful. As sinful as you were, God did not give up on you. You know why? Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain for your sins. He took your penalties on him. And he went to the Father and said, Father, have mercy. Today we can stand in the gap on behalf of those people who kill innocent children. And we say to God, have mercy! And bring repentance. We can stand on behalf of those in authority who make ungodly laws and wicked laws. And we can say to God, have mercy! Give us one more chance. Let there be repentance. Moses said to God, instead of killing the whole Israelite, kill me instead. Wipe my name out. Blot my name away. Instead of killing the rest of the Israelites, God looked at him. Wow. You know what? I will not kill them. Because of your intercession, I will not kill them. Yes, you have been redeemed. You have been washed by the Lamb. You're not one of those sinners. But you used to be. In view of the mercies that God had on you, should you not wake up and stand in the gap and say to God, if I were in that situation and I died, I would have gone to hell. But your mercy saved me. Lord, I stand on behalf of this nation and I ask for your mercy. I confess our sins. We are wicked.
We hate you. We kicked prayer out of schools. We hate you. We hate you in this country. But Lord, your people, your church, we are asking for your mercy. We are asking that you will have mercy on us. We are asking for your mercy. We are repenting before you. We are repenting. And brethren, as we repent, I'd like you to also repent for your own prayerlessness. I'd like you to also repent for your own lack of faith. I'd like you to also repent for not taking your stand as a watchman and watching out for the nation in which God has placed you. And so that's the first thing I'd like us to do. Bow your hearts, bow your heads, kneel down, fall down, and let us pray for mercy on behalf of this nation. We need to repent on behalf of this nation and say to God, have mercy. Have mercy. We are not more righteous than Afghanistan. We are not better than them. But you have chosen to show us your grace and bless us so immensely. It is your choice. And so we cannot stand here and snuff at them and say those Islamic people are just useless people. We are better than them. We are not. It is only by the mercies of God. And we shouldn't take it for granted. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let's pray like the church prayed. Let's cry before God this morning. Let's say to him, Lord, we are sorry. On behalf of the leadership of the church, on behalf of the leadership of this country, on behalf of the judiciary, we are sorry. On behalf of those judges who make unrighteous decrees, Lord, we are sorry. Lord, we are sorry on behalf of the people who shoot innocent people. We are sorry on behalf of the people who commit murders. We are sorry on behalf of the parents who abandon their children. We are sorry on behalf of those fathers who abandon their wives and their children. We are sorry. On behalf of the mothers who disdain the institution of marriage and their children, we are sorry. We are sorry. On behalf of the rebellious children, we are sorry. We are sorry, Lord. We are sorry. As a people, Lord, we are sorry. Look on us, Lord, and be merciful to us. We cannot stand your judgment, Lord. We cannot. So much has been given to us. So much has been given to us that we have taken it for granted. But Lord, we are crying for your mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Lord, we are sorry. Shari katai ledede mari katulia. We are sorry. Miyadu sakale da sukli abadeta peredeketea. We are sorry. We are sorry, Lord. Our prayer is for a restoration. Beginning in our homes. Beginning our personal altars. Oh, we are sorry, Lord. We are sorry. Silaye de kemele de siba indalabado sikai. We are sorry. Retos kadede palega doli brana kantoli abaha. We are sorry, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. The Bible says your mercies are from generation to generation. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Jesus. Mo kaleda sheleboro toski bade la pale kasotoya. For the racial injustice, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Moyaka Satali Bahai, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. O Zali Kaparala Katosi Bahana Yatazukrahai. Re Baba Zegede Brana Kantoli Brahana Katoya. Oh, would you ask the Lord today? Say, Lord, set me as a watchman over this nation. Set me as an intercessor on behalf of this nation. Oh, lekate paneke dosim praga done krede paneko sotoliai. Lord, I have kept quiet for too long. I've been silent. I felt insignificant. But now I know. Now I know. Now I know. Now I know that you hear when I call. Now I know. And Lord, I pray for your spirit of prayer and supplication to be poured out on your church again. Saki alabasiya banana yelebo soto. Reka tuzika da barada kanolobo satai. Lata yedede abadabatasa. Rakatos karabana shalabaraba satai. Your spirit of prayer and supplication. The Bible says your light shines in darkness and darkness cannot comprehend it. But Lord, there's a gross darkness that has overshadowed this nation. Oh, that you will awaken us. That you will awaken us. That you will awaken us and cause your light to shine again. Let your light burn again on the altars of our lives. Lord, we pray that you destroy the cover of blindness. Destroy every demonic veil of blindness that have kept us from discerning your will, that have kept us from discerning the devices of the enemy. Lord, that you open our eyes, open the eyes of understanding, Lord. Give us vision. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Give us an understanding of the times. Give us an understanding of the seasons. Give us an understanding of what our roles are in this time. Give us an understanding of what our place is in your army. Oh, Jesus. Makalibo sokola barebo sotoli brahana gadi alabatoshka hai. Rebagadosaka paralakatoshi abada. Ebragadanana mosetai. Make us sensitive. Make us sensitive and alert in the spirit so that we will not be like those foolish virgins who did not know what time the master would come. Oh, Jesus. Awaken your church, Lord. Awaken your church, Lord, in this nation. Oh, rapatazala porotosia, la baba shali pranaganto sabia da kasotoya. Oh yes, Lord, awaken us, Lord, awaken us, Lord, awaken us, Lord. Makasoto libranagado sabia tasakai. Lord, let your will. Let your will for this great nation, this nation you have chosen for yourself by yourself and you are blessed by yourself. Let this nation, Lord, arise to its potential in you. Let this nation arise to its place in the earth in this end time, Lord. Rekato sakata la brahashitaya. Lekato sakata libragadosia as a beacon of your light and your glory. As a beacon of your light and your glory, Makali do Shataya. Break the darkness, Lord. Break the darkness, Lord. Rend the heavens and come down. Rend the heavens and come down in your power and glory. Rend the heavens and come down. Touch our lives. Touch this nation. Let this nation burn with the fire of righteousness. Oh yes. From our families, Lord, to our schools, Lord, to the government, Lord, touch, 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 touch us, Lord, and purge, and purge, and purge. Reke sotoli braha katalia bahai. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, as your church tonight, this afternoon, Lord, we declare, you are our God. You are our God. We declare as your church, you are our God. Let your glory press forth, O God. Let your glory cover this nation as the waters cover the seas. You are our God in this nation. We are your people. You are God. You are God. We proclaim you. We proclaim you God. We proclaim you Lord. We proclaim you Master, Ruler over this land. Me kasoto lebrahaya katai. Me soto lebreheleketuzi abahai. Lord, as we begin to lift up a standard, we lift up a warfare against every demonic principality. We lift up a warfare against every power, against every ruler of the darkness that is in this world, against spiritual wickednesses in the high places. Lord, we lift up a warfare in the name of Jesus. Let them crumble. Let them crumble. Let them crumble. In the name of Jesus, let their influences be broken. Let their strongholds be broken. We cast down those demonic imaginations. We cast down demonic agendas that run contrary to your purpose for this nation. We cast them down in the name of Jesus. Let the knowledge of the glory of God, let the knowledge of the glory of God arise. Let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise in this nation. Oh, let the voice of the Lord thunder. Let the voice of the Lord thunder in the secret places. Let the voice of the Lord thunder upon demonic altars that make demonic incantations. Incantations into the heavenlies. Incantations into the firmament. Incantations into the air. Let the voice of the Lord thunder against them. Let those altars be broken. Let those altars be broken in the name of Jesus. Masa katoli brahaya. Repa de porokotosi abadaha. Oh, rekete de mareketosaya. Let the shout of the king rise upon us, O God. Let the voice of the king, the shout of the king, the king, the king of all kings, let your voice rise upon us in this nation, Lord. Let no enchantment, let no divination against the prosperity of this nation, against the security of this nation, against the purpose of God for this nation, let no such enchantments prevail. Oh Jesus, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will lift up a standard and repel. Repel the advances of darkness. Repel the advances of darkness. Repel the advances of darkness. Let the light of your glory, let the light of the knowledge of God dispel the advances of darkness in the name of Jesus. Let this nation arise and shine, for our light is come and the glory of God is risen upon us. Oh, once again, nations shall be drawn to the brightness of our shining. Once again, nations shall be drawn to the brightness of our shining. Let your glory and your beauty be upon this nation once again, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lezali katoli branagandoshia. Ripa baba zege de gebedea. Rupa baba zege de brahana gadaya. Lord, I pray that you will invade. Invade the secret lives of those in authority. Invade their lives. Invade their closets. Invade their hearts. And fill their hearts with the fear of the Lord. Invade their lives. Lord, when they meet and they take counsel together, Lord, let their counsel not stand as long as it's contrary to your will. Let their counsel not stand as long as it's contrary to your will. Invade their meeting places and break them in asunder, and break every demonic gathering in asunder. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And upon your church, Lord, I pray, let there be again a mighty outpouring of your spirit. A mighty outpouring of your spirit. From the north to the south, to the coasts, to the west, to the east. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit. In the schools, in the small churches, in the big churches, in the cell groups, let there be an outpouring of your spirit, an outpouring of your spirit like never before. Let there be revival. Let our hearts be revived. Let our hearts be revived. Oh Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, every prayer we have made this morning, we want to ask that you begin in our church. Lord, we want to ask that you begin in this place. We ask that you begin in our homes. Lord, begin in my own house. Begin in my house to walk your walk of revival. Begin in our church to pour out your spirit upon all flesh. Oh God, that our lives will be lived under the influence and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. That our church will simply be the church of the Holy Spirit. Where you sit on the throne and you coordinate and you guide and you lead and you direct and you touch and you heal and you save and you deliver. Lord, let your light begin to burn from this church like never before, with the great intensity that from this place it will spread through the city of Lynchburg and its environs. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, we know that the devil is not excited when your people become awakened. And we know that he will come. He will come to encumber us again. He will come to quench our fire. He will come to distract us. He will come to weigh us down. Oh, but Lord, we thank you. We thank you that for this reason was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of darkness. We thank you that when he shall come, your spirit will lift up a standard against him. And thank you for the victory that we have in your name. The victory that we have in your name. Thank you for the blood of your cross that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. And Lord, today, Lord, we begin to judge every such attacks by the blood of Jesus. Oh, we plead the blood of Jesus over our hearts. Over our lives, we plead the blood of Jesus. Let there be a rising tide of your activity and your movement in our hearts and in our lives. Oh Lord, I pray that you bring clarity and direction. Lord, dispel the confusions. Dispel the confusions. Dispel the confusions. Dispel the confusions. Oh Lord, I pray that you will quiet that lie of the devil. That lie of the devil that comes to us and tries to make us feel that God doesn't really hear our prayer, or that our prayer is really not that effective, or that we are really not that significant in the grand scheme of things. He loved you, he loved me, he loved us individually so much that he died for us, that if you were the only one that was a sinner in the world, Christ would still have died for you. That is the love of our God. And he that spared not his only son, but gave him up for our redemption, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We thank you. Thank you that we stand in the victory of your cross. The Bible says on the cross you took away the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. You nailed it to the cross and you made a public spectacle of principalities and powers. You triumphed over them in your cross. And it is on the victory of that cross that we stand and we pray and proclaim and believe this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd just like to ask Brother Ron to just come and kind of just tie up the prayer.
Thank you. Wow. Praise the Lord. I'll speak for myself. I'll let you decide where you fall on this scale. My heart is pricked this morning to have a strong reminder and actually a mandate. Please understand, we received a mandate this morning. And it came from an adopted American. God have mercy. God have mercy. Father, today you've reminded us in gentle and in not so gentle ways. Today you've reminded us of our responsibility of salt and light and the mercy you've shown. Lord, I echo the prayer of my brother. Lord, have mercy and bring repentance. Lord, may we here in this body, may we heed the warning. May we heed the word today. Let us not be like those that have heard the word and have seen ourselves reflected and walk away forgetting what we've seen. But Lord, bring this to us. When we go home, bring this to us. Tomorrow morning on our way to work, bring this to us. As we go about our day and set our agendas, bring this to us. Create in us, Lord, a heart of repentance, a heart of crying out to you, Lord, that you might redeem, us, and that you might bless through the work that you're doing in the body of Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank you. God bless our brother today. God bless our brother today and his family. And now, Lord, let all of us that have been here today, that have heard your word, may we walk away forever changed, never to go back to what we were, but forever changed because we've had an encounter with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Make sure you love somebody. Hug, shake, hug, neck, shake hands, whatever's appropriate. God bless you guys.